Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Love and Relationships Podcast, a hotline style show where people call in with questions about love, sex, dating, singleness, and marriage, and mental and emotional health. I'm Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid, unscripted conversations where I answer your questions in short, bite-sized, practical answers. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed professional counselor, relationship expert, and author of 6 books. I also run the popular relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it by voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or submit it on my podcast page, truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. So let's get started. So we're doing something a little different over the next few weeks called the Ask a Counselor series. As you know, I recently started the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, a team of Christian counselors who are offering one-on-one online sessions to meet with you and help you work through any personal or relationship issue you might be facing. It's an amazing team of counselors that I get the privilege of leading, and I wanted you to get to know them the way that I've been getting to know them. I've asked the counselors on my team to come and join me on the podcast over the next few weeks to help me answer your questions for this Ask the Counselor series, and I can't wait for you to get to know them. To book a session with one of our counselors, go to DeborahFalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing today. Today's question comes from Rachel from Colorado. Hey, Deborah and counselors. I want to start doing a better job of setting boundaries with unhealthy people in my life, but I don't know where to begin. Do you have any advice for me? Today on the podcast, I'm so excited to have Danny. She's one of our amazing counselors at the Deborah Falada Counselors Network. I'm so happy to have her joining me for this conversation today. But before we dive into this question from Rachel, tell us a little bit about you, Danny, and what are the type of clients that you like to see at the Deborah Falada Counselors Network?
Thanks so much for having me today, Deborah. I really am excited about this conversation today. I work a lot with women's issues, I would say would probably be my big overarching topic, but more specifically, I love talking about core beliefs. I love talking about how those impact our day-to-day decisions. I love working with anything related to boundaries, setting boundaries for ourselves and others. But then I also really love working with new moms who are trying to navigate maybe the baby stage or the little, just trying to, and probably that goes hand in hand with boundaries as well, but learning to kind of navigate that world.
It's so interesting you say that, because I don't think the majority of people who have littles connect that with boundaries. But you're so right. It is such a boundary issue. And I would say people who struggle the most in that stage are probably people who come into it with low boundary.
Exactly. And sometimes even over-involvement or over-commitment. I think a lot of times in today's society, we think that we can just hit the ground running, adding a new little into our family, even if it's the first or the seventh. And
right.
It a new kid always changes things.
And you're so right.
A lot of it comes down to learning to be able to say no to things that may be good things, but aren't for the season, and saying yes to the things that really matter and the things that God
You're speaking my language, Danny. You are speaking my language. I I consider myself very high on the boundary measuring stick. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, my husband is on the same page as me, so we tend to kind of have high boundaries. So this question today from Rachel kind of it hits home. I'm very passionate about this subject, and I'm passionate about boundaries in life in general, just how I structure life. Like, I can only do what I do because of boundaries. You know, exactly. People always ask me, how do you homeschool and podcast and travel and write books? It's because of boundaries. Boundaries enable me to focus in on what God has called me to. And mm-hmm. I believe we can apply that same principle to relationships. Mm-hmm. Boundaries help us to focus in on the people that God has called us to and set exactly. limits with everybody else. So this is a really great question that we have today of how can I do a better job setting boundaries with unhealthy people in my life? I don't even know where to begin. So let's start this conversation by maybe addressing what is an unhealthy relationship to begin with, because we have to have a framework for who we're going to pour into and who we're not going to pour into, who we're going to set boundaries with and who we're going to invite into our lives on a deeper, more intimate level. So how do we differentiate between what's a healthy relationship, what's not a healthy relationship?
Well, I think that there's a couple key things to take into consideration. One being the fact that we have a God-given capacity, and we have people who are in our inner circle, and it can only be so many people. I mean, right. So if you are married and you have kids, your inner circle is naturally going to be a bit fewer outside people because your family is going to be in there.
Right.
In general, I always say like 3 to 5 people max. 5 is like pretty stretching it. Probably more for the extroverts out there. But there should be probably, 3 to 5 people who you go deep with and who are going to, you're going to be investing the most amount of time and the most amount of energy into. So some of it's recognizing how many people we're trying to push into that inner circle. Because if we're pushing in too many people, it's going to lead to a lot of unhealthy relationships because we don't have the capacity to be besties with 20 people.
Right.
And I think the other thing to really take into consideration is there should be in that inner circle, the relationship should in general be give and take. Now I say that with the understanding that sometimes there are seasons where maybe our best friend or our closest, family member may be struggling and there's naturally more give or take in a season.
Yeah.
But in general, like in the relationship overall, there should be that mutual, I'm here for you and you're here for me. And if you find that you're constantly always the one initiating or putting in all the effort, chances are that relationship may not be your core group of people. That might be like another circle out.
Yes.
Might be more of a good friend or a good acquaintance.
Right. Let's start by conceptualizing this, because in my book, Are You Really Okay? I have people actually draw a social map where you have, it's almost like a target where the bullseye, the inner circle is your core group. And like you said, 3 to 5 people. And if you have more than that, it tells me something about you, right? It tells me that you're probably low on boundaries and you're running on fumes and you're an extreme extrovert, but maybe there needs to be some boundaries in your life. If you have nobody in that group, it also tells me something about you and your ability to connect and be vulnerable and have intimacy with people. But then, so that's your core group. The next circle out, we will call your friends, your typical friends, not your core group, but people that you connect with, people that you spend time with, but they're not your number one investment. They don't know everything about you, but they know a lot about you. And I would say circle number 3, we could say our acquaintances, maybe coworkers, people you run into at church by default. Maybe you end up in groups together because you see them often and you're crossing paths on a regular basis, but you're not being intentional about investing in them. So you have to really know where people fall into your life, because if everybody that you meet is all in the same circle, you're really going to struggle. Like if you literally only have one circle, these are my friends or they're not my friends, you're going to struggle, because there's got to be levels of friends. And I also think the level of health of a relationship helps determine what circle it's in. So as we're talking through this, you know, when there's not mutuality, when there's not mutual respect, when you feel like you're giving, giving, giving and not receiving, when there's unhealthy traits in the other person like deceit or emotional distancing, or maybe anger or rage, like we have to know where people go on the circle and if they even belong in the circle at all. Like if there's level 1, 2, 3, you have to realize that some people aren't going to make the circle at all. And we've got to differentiate who those people are and specifically what God has called us to. I also want to make an exception for mentor relationships. Mm-hmm. I do feel like as far as give and take goes, there's going to be some people where we're just giving and not receiving because we're discipling them. I think the problem is we don't differentiate in our minds, and we end up having our peer friendships, our core group, end up being ministry relationships if we're not careful. But that's not healthy, because then you're pouring into all of these people in ministry that you might feel close to, but you're not getting anything in return. So you have to have some ministry relationships. You just have to be able to tell yourself they're ministry relationships and they're not your level one. They're not your core group. They can't be. So I think Christians especially sometimes have a hard time differentiating and realizing that we need friendships that are pouring into us as well. So she wants to do a better job setting boundaries. Give us some tips, Danny. What are some things to consider as we're trying to set boundaries in our life?
That's a deep question. I feel like I could talk for hours on it. I think that there's, when learning anything new, the key is to, I think, first do a little bit of digging, like learn what boundaries are, learn what your boundaries inventory would be. And I would say take inventory of all your relationships and maybe even different areas of your life, like your time boundary, your home boundaries, your work boundaries, those types of things, and start to really honestly evaluate which areas are working and which ones aren't. Because there's going to be, when there's an area that's not working, there's going to be this feeling you get. Like I call it that icky feeling when somebody has violated a boundary, but sometimes I think it can be resentment. Like when we say yes to something, but we really didn't want to say yes, but we felt like we had to say yes. And so we said yes, but we're resenting that person. So I think learning to recognize that feeling in the moment is really important, because when we say yes to things that we didn't want to say yes to, but then we resent the person or the situation, like that's really on us. Like yeah. That's on us for not setting a boundary and saying, I'm sorry, I don't have the capacity to do that right now. So I think those are kind of some starting tips. But from there, I think picking one area, one relationship to maybe focus on. I think it can be easy to say, okay, well, I'm going to go out and set boundaries in every area of my life. I'm going to say no to everything. And then we swing too far the other side. So I think there's danger in both extremes there. So being able to say, you know, I'm going to start in this one area and learn what it looks like to have healthy boundaries and maybe money first, or maybe in the commitments that I make at church, or maybe I'm going to say no every time somebody asks me to do something and I find myself completely rearranging my entire schedule to make that one thing work.
Right.
So learning to, I think, recognize some of those are really important.
Yeah, I agree. And I think sometimes we believe that boundaries are what we tell people to do. You can't call me at 4 a.m. You can't talk to me like that. I don't want you doing this. I don't want you doing that. That's not a boundary. That's control. You're trying to control people. And sure, you can say that. I don't want you calling me at 4 a.m. That doesn't mean they're not going to call you at 4 a.m. because you can't control what they do. So a boundary isn't what you tell people to do. A boundary is how you're going to respond to people. You can't tell that person, stop inviting me to things because I'm too busy. It's how you're going to respond to the invitation when it comes. What are you going to do? What are you feeling inside? What are you telling yourself? What are some of your core beliefs as we went back to one thing that you're passionate about? Because I really believe a huge part of the reason why we don't set boundaries is because of faulty core beliefs. Deep, deep down, there's a reason why we say yes to everything and everyone. And we can get all gung-ho one week and decide we're setting boundaries everywhere with everybody and everything and clear our schedules and say no to people. But we're going to default right back into old patterns if we're not getting to the root of our yes. Why am I saying yes to begin with? Why is this hard for me to say no? Is it people-pleasing? And I feel like I just want to make people happy. Is it because I feel the need to fix things? Is it because I believe that if I don't show up, nobody else will, and I have to be the one to get it done? And then the next question is, where did those beliefs begin to form? Where did you start picking up some of these beliefs that are inhibiting you from setting boundaries in your life and setting boundaries with people? Why are you sacrificing yourself? I kind of believe that a lack of boundaries is self-violation. Like, I am violating my own self. I'm not protecting myself. And if I had to choose a theme verse for boundaries, it would be guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Like, out of your heart flows life, and you have to be the one to guard it. The Bible doesn't say guard each other's heart in that verse. I'm not saying it's not important to do that. But what I am saying is biblically the responsibility to guard and protect what's important is on me and nobody else.
Exactly. And I firmly believe that we train people how to treat us. So I think, you know, in Christian circles especially, I think sometimes there can be a lot of pressure to say yes to everything because that's what Jesus would do. You know, WWJD was, you know, all the rage. But I think that, yes, we need to pause and we need to think about what did Jesus do. But reality is, Jesus also set boundaries. He didn't heal everyone. He wasn't always accessible 24/7. I mean, he literally told his disciples, he's like, y'all go over there. I'm going to go over here by myself and hang out with the Father. And I'm going to go pray and I'm going to go return soul. Like Jesus literally set boundaries. And so when we train people, when we always say yes to everything, we train people that we're then the yes men.
Right.
Like, that we're okay with saying yes to anything and everything. And so one of the things I really like to tell the people that I counsel is, when you start to set boundaries, chances are you're probably going to hurt some feelings. Like, there's going to be some people that are like, oh, what the heck? What are you doing? Why are you saying no? Because you always say yes. And so learning that just because you hurt somebody's feeling doesn't mean that we're making the wrong decision. Sometimes we can lovingly say no to something which hurts somebody's feelings, but actually is the healthiest choice for the relationship.
Yeah, that's so true. The health of your boundary is not determined by the reaction of the person you're setting the boundary with. Mm-hmm. Because especially when you're interacting with unhealthy people, they're going to have an unhealthy reaction to your boundary. And if your assessment of, is this a good boundary or not, should I have done this or not, is based on their reaction, then you're basing it on somebody who is unhealthy. You're basing it on an unhealthy measuring stick. So it's not about their reaction to your boundary. It's about you being able to set that boundary, understand why you're setting it, and deep down, what you're protecting.
Exactly. And God's given us responsibility over certain areas of our life. You know, he's given us responsibility with our time, with our money, with, you know, our mental energy,
with our heart,
all those things, our heart. Exactly. God has given us responsibility for certain things, but he hasn't given us responsibility for other people's feelings. And so when we take those and we put that on ourselves, we're taking responsibility for something we were never intended to take responsibility for. And that, I think, just creates a whole can of worms then. And that's where we really dig into the core beliefs then, right? Like the boundaries are if you envision your life kind of like a garden, the boundaries end up being the weeds that pop up. But if you don't take care of like the root of it all, the mother root right there, which is the core belief, like the boundary issues are going to keep popping up. And every time you pull 10, there's going to be 10 more that pop up. So it all becomes like this giant cycle. And if you don't figure out why it is you're saying yes to everything, or why it is that you're not setting boundaries mm-hmm. in relationships, then it's just going to continue just in different areas of your life.
Yeah. And in order to figure it out, I always tell people we have to go backward in order to go forward. We have to mm-hmm. go back to figure out where these beliefs came from. Where did the enemy start planting lies? Usually it's in your season mm-hmm. of vulnerability, mm-hmm. you know, going back to some of those vulnerable places in childhood and early development in different seasons where you started believing lies about who you were and what your role was. And here's what's interesting. I did an episode for the Ask the Counselor series with one of our counselors named Julie, and we talked about clutter and hoarding. But what's interesting is a lack of boundaries to me is like emotional clutter. Mm-hmm. You have so many things going on, so many people, so many things you feel emotionally responsible for. That's clutter. That's emotional clutter that's preventing you from living the healthiest life. In order to live a healthy life, you have to zoom in on the essentials. What God has called you to, that's the essentials. Everything else is clutter. And when you don't have healthy boundaries, you're allowing everything into your home. You're filling it up with emotional clutter, and you can't live well until you start to prune things out of your life and know which category, what goes into. Focus on the essentials that God has called you to. It's almost like minimalism for your emotional health. Like, what does it look like to begin to purge certain things out of my life, certain commitments out of my life, certain interactions out of my life, certain relationships out of my life? And I also think people have to realize that setting boundaries doesn't always mean that somebody is just cut off. You don't just cut them out of your life. In some cases, you might need to, but in the majority of cases, it isn't that you cut them out of your life. It's just that you give them less and you expect less from them. You put them in a circle that's a little bit further out.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, when we look at cancel culture in today's world, I think cancel culture is another classic example of unhealthy boundaries. I mean, we just cut anyone out who doesn't agree, or who we don't like what they say, or they don't validate my feelings. And that's another classic example of unhealthy boundaries, because there are people that we do have to cut out for safety reasons, or maybe the relationship, the season for the relationship is just over. You know, relationships often have seasons.
Yeah.
And as much as I love the show Friends, like, that's not reality. Like, yeah, you know, besties that you do life with for that long. You know, sometimes we have one or two lifelong friends, but in general, most of our relationships are seasonal. And so sometimes holding on to relationships too long can then create that uneven give and take. But I think also, you know, canceling them completely isn't always the answer. It's being able to say, you know what, I would love to still get together with you, but I can't rearrange my schedule today. Instead, here are 3 dates that I am available. Do any of those work for you? And being able to just say, hey, you're still important to me, but you're not so important to me that I'm going to rearrange everything about my life right now, the second, because you're free.
Absolutely. And I really believe when it comes to unhealthy people, whether it's family members or friends, you know, maybe you're on a journey of healing yourself and you start to realize, wait a second, a lot of the people that I've been associating with aren't as healthy. A lot of them aren't on the journey of healing in how they interact and connect and communicate. So I really believe that you can love people well and love them at a distance. I believe that we're called to love all people, but we're not called to love all people up close. And there is something to the idea of learning to love people from a distance. You're still loving them and exuding the love of Christ, but they're not in your inner circle. Even Jesus had an inner circle, and within his inner circle of disciples, he had an inner circle of a few disciples that he really connected with. He calls John, calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Like, he knew we have a special relationship. I'm part of the inner circle. And so I think it's important for us to understand that we can love as Jesus loved, yet still love people from a distance. And so this conversation has been so good, Dani, and so important. I feel like you're right. We're just getting started. Like, we could talk about this for hours. I love your approach to boundaries. I love your heart for boundaries. I love your balanced approach, because I totally agree with you. It's not about extremes. We're not canceling people out of our life just on a whim, but we're also not allowing people to have full access to our lives. And we have to really take inventory and assess our relationships, our schedule, our time, our money, and see what's working and what's not. And I really believe boundaries are so crucial and something that most people have never really learned. We hear the word boundaries, right? Thanks to the boundaries book, a lot of people know what the word boundaries is, but we're not actually applying it, and we don't see how we need to begin doing things differently. So if you're out there and you're like, man, I would love to continue this conversation, well, you can. You can continue this conversation with Dani and apply it to your life and your situation and your current relationships. Dani can really help you begin to unpack some of those core beliefs that are preventing you from setting healthy boundaries. She can help you assess where you need more boundaries, where you need less boundaries. What does it look like? What are some practical things? What relationships do you need to bring into your inner circle? And what relationships do you need to slowly begin to purge from your life or put in a different circle? If you want to book a session with Dani, you can go to DeborahFallela.com/Danielle, DaNielle, and book a session with Dani. She'll be so happy to work with you. I know we're always so privileged and honored to be able to help people on the journey of healing. So Dani, thank you so much for being with us today for this conversation.
Thank you. This has been so much fun.
It's great to have you. People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Falleda Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at DeborahFallela.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you love what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books: True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about those, as well as hundreds of articles and courses, over at my blog, truelovedates.com or deborahfallela.com. I love connecting with you online, so find me on Facebook or Instagram at Deborah Falleda and tell me your story. If you have a question for me, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships, and we'll try to get it answered on the show. I'm Deborah Falleda, and it was so great being together today, and I can't wait to be with you again next week. See you later.